watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell of shrimp there again at the bar. Wasting away again in margarita.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Talking Pylons. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Napolitano. Down there waving to you, we've got Mark the Truth Levesque. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
And I'm good. Up on the other side of the screen next to me is their last host, Mark the Baller Krasminski. How are you doing, bud?
Peachy.
Great intros. So this episode, we don't have a whole lot for you guys. We don't have an interview today. And by not a whole lot, I don't mean we don't have a whole lot planned. We do have a lot of NHL to talk about. There's some stuff we missed from last week, and we'll get into that in just a second. We do have some SHL news, but we don't have a guest today. We're just going to kind of catch ourselves up on some news in both hockey worlds and get back on the ball here. So one of the biggest things that we missed last week, boys, just to jump right into it, we mentioned the outdoor games. I forgot to even mention the greatest moment, arguably, from those outdoor games, which was Pasternak coming out to do an interview after they won. First of all, those Bruins had those vintage fits that were A++. Pasta came back out with those sunglasses on, and he's like, we were listening to Barbie Girl in there, and I'm doing this interview. You are making me miss the Barbie Girl song. Greatest interview ever. Did you guys both see this? Truthy, we'll go to you.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, what was your thoughts?
I mean, it's a great song. It's provocative. Gets people going.
No, it does. Nobody knows what it means. Krasminski, I think I sent you guys one of the best video edits I think I've ever seen when this happened. It was actually from hockey montages on, I said it hockey, like, because he's a Blackhawks fan, on Instagram, who I follow. And it will actually, he's going to be a guest in the future. He said he'd come on the show. We're going to get to talk to him about all his edits. He made one of the best edits ever. I'll throw it in here, and you guys can watch it right now.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
Well, I miss the Barbie Girl song.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
So I just thought it was hilarious. He used the Barbie Girl song and put a bunch of Pasternak's highlights in there. Mark, Krasminski, I think I sent it to you. Did you see it?
Yeah, that shit was that. That shit was funny. He's dead.
Yeah, I heard you. Are you rewatching it right now?
Yeah. He's fucking goated.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been more hyped to hear the Barbie Girl song in my life, and that it fits so well in that montage. That was
it
just
does.
Perfect.
The song's a banger. It's a banger of a song.
Absolutely. But one of the go ahead. Margarita. That's a good song, yeah.
Wasting again in Margaritaville. Now
I searching for my lost shaker of salt.
Should we get margaritas, boys?
Oh, those do sound good right now, but it is a Tuesday night, so no, Monday night.
Monday.
I don't know. Well, this episode will probably come out on a Tuesday night. Yeah, it's been a crazy week, but so we did say that was the best thing to come out of the outdoor games. However, there was one other thing that was arguably the best meme to come out of the outdoor games, and that was first responder from Lake Tahoe. His name was Dusty Gooch. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'll say it one more time. I don't think you heard me correctly. His name was Dusty Gooch. What's so funny, Mark the Truth?
Goat,
we'll go to you.
That is.
I'm not laughing.
I'm not either.
Yeah, take it easy,
know.
Dusty Gooch.
That was his actual name. And he was there both days, too, both games. Like, they brought him back. I was like, of course you're going to bring a guy like that back.
Yeah, you need him back.
Absolutely. That was just all time. His parents, bravo.
They knew what they were doing.
They knew it, too.
Wonderful job. Poor guy.
R.I.P. in pieces.
Some people said I would have changed my last name. No, I would have kept it. You know how awesome of a name that is? You go up to people. Hi, I'm Dusty Gooch.
You gotta do it like James Bond. Hi, I'm Gooch.
Dusty Gooch.
The dustiest of the Gooches.
I take that back, though. I would have changed my name, but I wouldn't have changed the last name. I would have changed my first name.
The Harry?
Oh, that was a good one. No. I was going to go with wet, but Harry's fine too. I was just thinking positively, not grossly. Like Dusty, like it sounds dry. You don't want that. Harry, you don't want that either. Let's be real. I would have gone with just not moist Gooch. It's not a good one. That just popped into my mind.
Not moist.
All right, we'll get off this Gooch talk real quick.
Moist.
We'll talk about something that is exactly the opposite of Gooch. J.J. Watt decided to throw the skates on and take a shot in hockey. And I believe in the quote, he said he would consider retiring from football and lacing up the skates one day. Mark Krasinski, I know we were talking about this earlier. And today, actually, J.J. Watt just signed with the Cardinals. So what do you have to say about that?
Fine with the Cardinals. I think it's a good move. Fuck, they have the two best pass rushers in the NFL now, damn near. Besides the brothers. Fuck, he's back with Hopkins. That's what Hopkins wanted. I think J.J. Watt always liked that. I mean, that's going to be a good team now. Fuck, a defense could be solid. Him on skates with the stick is scary. And it was my nightmares for a couple days. That slap shot was still in my nightmares too. He's just a scary guy. And he eats Subway, so he's unhinged.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Mark, down below me, what'd you think?
I mean, I don't mind him going there. I just thought it came out of nowhere with all like the rumors of where he was going to go. I just thought Arizona was a very random signing. But I didn't look at it in the aspect that DeAndre Hopkins is there playing again with DeAndre. I mean, I don't know that they're in win mode now. I don't really know if he's going to get anything out of going there, but I mean, he's going to Arizona, so I mean, can't really complain. He's going to have nice weather. I just think it's a lot of money for what he's worth. But
you once said that you would get in front of a Zdeno Chara slap shot. Would you consider getting in front of a J.J. Watt slap shot?
Yep.
All right, consistent. I like it. Something you don't want to get in front of, though. I sent you both this video. A bus is for sure. And that was basically what this one hockey player was to this little girl that got leveled. I sent you guys the video and I shouldn't have laughed. I feel so bad. I'm going to hell for laughing. But the caption was, she'll never lace up the skates again. And I kind of agree. I mean, you get rocked that hard. The guy he didn't have his head up going through the middle of the ice. Well, you know what? I'll step back. I'll let our coach of the Jofa Dusters describe this one. What went wrong on this play, Mark?
Wait, what are we talking about?
That video I sent you.
Your co-host, Mark Levesque.
Yeah. A-plus job. The little girl that got leveled in a hockey game. Did you see that? I sent it to you on Instagram.
Yeah, why is she out there? I'm not going to bash. If that was my player, I'm not going to bash him. Why is she out there?
It's true, but should he have had his head up going through center ice like that?
She should have had her head up.
Yeah.
She put her head down.
Both of them should have their head on a swivel.
Yeah.
That was a good hit. Clean hit.
Yeah, she was like 3 years old, maybe not even, and did not end well. I was expecting to see the other way around, like some phenom at 3 years old, some little girl just dude. Trucking a like middle-aged dude.
Headbutt some dude in the fucking nuts.
Take him out at the knees. He's out for the rest of the season. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll throw the video in here post-production. You guys will have gotten a chance to see it if you haven't already. We want to talk about injuries, and that includes some SHL talk, so we'll jump right into that. We have some updates since our draft last week. The Golden Seals have decided on their goal horn. I am going to drop the video on the Schaumburg Hockey League YouTube very soon. It will not be in this video. Maybe I'll put the link down in the description. No spoilers. You guys are going to have to go listen to it on your own. That is the first update. The second update is we have some positive news and some not so positive news. Positive news is that Vinny Sauce Stellato and his buddy Saucy Tenders, the goaltender, I'm not sure if he's going to be playing out or playing in net. That's okay. Mark has multiple goaltenders on his team, one namely Joe Majewski. Those two that I mentioned, Saucy Tenders and the Sauce Man himself, Vinny Stellato, will be attending the game. They said so themselves. Both teams get a little boost in the roster from both of those guys. And on the other side of the coin, we have some not so great news. It was broken to me that Tim Vendel, Mark's second overall pick on his team, Tim went fourth overall, will not be making the game as of this time.
What?
Damn. I know. I didn't want to tell you. I wanted to break it on here to see your reaction. He told me that he will be away on vacation. I know. You know, you sign up to.
Where is he going? It's COVID.
It'll be a lake house of his. So I believe they're driving. I don't think there's any flights involved. And it sounds like it's very woodsy. So you're not in like a Mecca full of people getting COVID. So as of right now, he is probably not going to make it. I'm still leaving on the list for Mark's team as tentative. Mark looks like he'll have to get into free agency and sign some of those subs.
We don't fucking need him.
Mark Levesque, from an outsider's perspective, how do you see this one?
Why'd you put your name on the draft list?
Well, he was a returning player from last year. I'll give him that. But go ahead. Do you want to dive deeper into how does this affect the New York Americans?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, there's a lot of players in free agency. I mean, can't really replace the skill, but you can replace the body. You can tell someone what to do. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you kind of heard Mark Krasminski's thoughts on the matter already. The captain, do you have any statement at this time about this incident?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. We still have our core. I mean, he scored goals. That's because the passing was great. He played defense, and we get another defender. If he doesn't want it enough to win another cup, hey, play the game, drive up to yourself. But I'm not going to hate on him. He has to do what he's got to do. But we're going to go out there and do our thing and win another cup. Doesn't faze us. We're not going to be sad.
You heard it here first, folks. The media is going to spin this one. Mark Krasminski saying that Tim Vendel was not actually part of their core last year, as he phrased it, undertone right there. And he also said that he is very replaceable. So, Tim, sorry, buddy. We're going to have you on this podcast eventually, but it sounds like your own captain doesn't even believe in you. So, if you do make the game, you might want to consider switching sides, maybe asking for a trade, request that the no trade clause be dropped.
But he knows he wants to win the cup, he'll stay.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be taking his talent elsewhere. Well, somebody he's under contract. Somebody else who is under contract, a very big name star, actually evenly on the other side of the table, Mike Cross's second overall draft pick. Tim Vendel was Mark Krasminski's second overall draft pick. Matt D'Amelio was Mike Cross's second overall draft pick. He has come out and said that he is on the LTIR, long-term injured reserve. Now, he has not told anyone why this is. There could be a couple reasons. I'm not going to really speculate on them at the time because I do not know. It could be because of locker room problems. It could be because of knee problems. Could be because of things that have been said in the league. We don't know. Mark, the truth will go to you first. What does this mean for the California Golden Seals?
So he's not going to play at all?
We don't know. He just said he's on long-term injured reserve. There was a group chat that I think you were both in that he said he was considering not playing in this year's game. I would assume that is because of the quote unquote injury or the chaos that is going on. I don't know for sure the details. I don't know if he plans on playing or not, but what would this mean to the league and to the Golden Seals?
Well, you know, looking at both rosters, Mark losing his number two pick isn't that detrimental, but the Golden Seals losing their number two pick, I think that's a very big detrimental hit to that team. Because from what I've heard and what it sounds like, they rely on that top two lines. So I think that's going to be a big deal for them.
Definitely. And I think Matt is a very dynamic player. To be losing him, you know, he brings depth to the team, whether he's on that first line or the second line, wherever you want to slot him in. He plays with heart. All right, Mark Krasinski, we'll go to you then. What are your opinions on this?
So, question, because I don't think I read that message. Did he say he's not going to play, or did he say he's on the injured reserve, or are you just putting him on the long-term reserve?
No, he expressed to me directly that he was on the long-term injured reserve. He did not state a reason. However, if you look back into the chat that you were both in, let me pull it up while you're analyzing it right now and see exactly what he said. He said, I need to retire. Oh, no, that might have been something he said directly to me as well. It might not have even been in the chat. Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah, because I don't remember him saying something like that.
I think I'm retiring from the SHL as of now. And that's all he said. The next message after that was throw me on the long-term injured reserve. So I don't know what this means. I really don't. I'm for the sake of the league and our team, I really hope it gets cleared up. But from what it seems to me, just from those two texts and what he has expressed to me in the past, it sounds like it's either a minor physical issue that could be solved come June, end of June, or it has something to do with locker room mentality, locker room relations with other players. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. This is just me speculating. I don't know what's going on. I do hope to get out on the rink with him soon if this injury is not, in fact, physical or if it clears up. I think he really needs to get out there with us and establish our chemistry so that we could come back tough this year. But I'll throw it back over to you, Mark. What do you want to say about this? Why are you smiling so much?
I see it as he's fucking scared. He sees he's going to lose again. And he's like, what's the point? Because last year, his skates broke when we were up by so much, he gave up. His skates are fucking break. They're brand new skates. Oh, I don't think they're brand new, but
I was going to say, I don't think those are brand new.
He sat on the sideline fixing his wheels. I go, dude, let's go out there and finish the game. Okay. Two, injury. What injury? What has he been doing for the past month?
I don't know. Could be like a case of Joe DiMaggio. The Cubs didn't sign him because he hurt his knee getting out of a cab, and they already had four outfielders. So instead, the Yankees signed him, and then Later on that year, he went on to hit a grand slam against the Cubs and a walk-off three-run shot in the World Series, which solidified the Yankees World Series title that year.
I'm not surprised. What's the correct term I'm looking for here? Not a bum, but something like just he's been so lazy, like doesn't hang with anyone, doesn't do anything. Nothing. Doesn't do anything. You know, it's looking to be like, oh, we don't invite him out. You can fucking text us. Shit, you got my number, you got Mike's number, you got someone's number. Just get up, go play hockey with us. You know.
A lot of people would say the road works both ways.
But. Oh, it does. But that was for the first couple of months when I kept trying. It was kept no. You know, you get tired of hearing no all the time. So I was like, what's the fucking point? So listen, if it's an injury, because I know he has knee problems. Fuck, I got knee problems too. His might be worse than mine.
I was kind of thinking is it could be a knee problem. But that to me sounds like it would get cleared up by June. I don't think it would be a persistent
type of nagging. Or you hit him, or you don't say anything. You'd be like, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to play. My knees are, you know, my knees are fucked. We'll see what I feel like. But
it's like the NHL. If players don't want to disclose the injuries that they have, they don't have to. It's part of the new CBA in the NHL, and it'll stand.
That's just so they can hide too. COVID.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Matt has COVID. That is the truth. I believe he's been tested multiple times. However, I do see what you're saying, and I hope it's nothing locker room chemistry related. I don't think there's anybody on this team that Matt would have an issue with. Hopefully not in the league either. I don't know. As we know, Matt D'Amelio is Mark Krasinski's cousin, and maybe family could reach out and figure things out.
No, I can care less about this.
Okay.
It's always sunny. Hold on.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm playing the world's smallest fucking violin.
He's your own cousin, buddy. I think you should probably reach out, you know? I don't know.
But he's not injured.
I don't. This is the reports that are coming to me. That's all I know. I wish I knew more, especially because we have this podcast and a platform to get that information out. But this is. That's about all I know. He's a very mysterious fellow.
So, no, Tony's mysterious. Matt's in a shell.
For the fans that don't know, Tony is another one of our friends. He does not play hockey, though, so he probably won't be coming on this podcast anytime soon.
He also doesn't speak.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he's Bulgarian, there's a reason to get him on the podcast.
He just looks pretty. That's his only job.
Well, something else that looks pretty, boys, is the No Name Hockey custom sticks. Talking Pylons is brought to you by No Name Hockey Company. Are you tired of paying extra just to have the same sticks as the duster on the bench next to you named Mark Krasinski because he can't figure out what's going on with his team or his cousin, and he's going to be just sitting on the bench not figuring out what's going on in the game? Well, now there's an easy and affordable way to customize your gear and make yourself stand out without sacrificing quality or technology in your sticks. In fact, No Name Hockey sticks are just as advanced as the other top-of-the-line sticks at a fraction of the cost. They have all the same curves and flexes, as well as customizable grips, colors, and the pinnacle of the No Name customization power is that they give you the option to make it yours by printing your name and number on the stick. I'm an official No Name Hockey ambassador, and I'm always using my newest black and white taper, Cane Curve 67 Flex with a traditional grip and sandpaper finish blade. This is my third stick from No Name Hockey, and they just keep getting better with each new stick. But don't just take my word for it. Get to nonamehockey.co and get your new twig today. You can also follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the at No Name Hockey as well. No Name Hockey. Respect all, fear no one, make a name. Kind of scroll through their website. They do have some new stuff. Everything's mostly the same on here, though. Go out and get yourself some of this stuff. They've got a Pride tape collection, Pride sticks. You can get all that. I know that's coming up, too. This is Women's History Month, and we'll get into some women's hockey in a little bit. But if you wanted to get a female design stick, you can do that, too. No Name Hockey is just one of the greatest. We love them. I love them.
I want a history month. What month's open for me?
You don't get one.
Why not?
You get Neverary.
I'll take it.
Neverary, yeah. All right, boys, jumping into the next topic. It's NHL time, and we have a lot to catch up on. We're going to go through some of what we missed last week, some of the new stuff that happened this week. There's a lot of big storylines, and we're going to go through it by division. So first off, in the North, they're sponsored by whoever. We're not actually going to say the name because I don't know it, and we're not actually affiliated with the NHL, so we don't give a fuck. First of all, did you guys see the video of Markstrom coming out against his former team, the Vancouver Canucks, and absolutely flipping a defender? He came out of the goal. He was about to the faceoff dot. And, oh, my God, he sent – I'm not even sure who that was. He sent him flying. Mark, the truth, you sound like you know what's going on. What did you think?
I like it. Some old-school goalie moves right there. You know, you know you're not going to be able to stop him, or he's just coming in too fast. I'm going to go wreck him. Who's going to stop me? You touch Absolutely. The goalie and you die. So why not? Obviously, though, it puts both players at risk. I think it puts the goalie at risk more than anything because, like, they don't hit people ever. So
that's probably fairly true.
And they already are fucked up in the head as it is.
Goalies are insane. Goalies are crazy. But, I mean – to your point about being at risk, I think anytime you step out on that ice with those knives on the ends of your feet, you're always at risk. So I love the ferocity of it. Mark Krasinski, did you see this one?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did. I think he's got to keep his head up. Simple as that. He just kept his head down and he fucking got his – he got chop blocked there. I'd love to play by the goalie. I mean, if it works, it's a great play. If it doesn't, it's an idiot move. I mean, that's pretty much it. If it works, it works. And it fucking works. And it gave us a show, finally, in the fucking division. But I think it was a good play. I mean, you love to see it. You love goalies. You love goalies showing a little personality on the ice. But, yeah, fuck it. He said he saw the player's knees. He goes, fuck it. If I die today, I die today.
Yeah, absolutely. His former team, as you all know, Markstrom, was a Vancouver Canuck. Just jumping into the Canucks real quick, I actually didn't even have this in the notes, but I saw it the other day. The Canucks were having a contest that one lucky fan would win a retro Reavers jersey for every single goal that the Canucks scored in that game. The Canucks got shut out. They didn't score a single goal.
Yeah, they got fucked up. Yeah, it was.
I have never seen a promo backfire so hard. What did you guys think?
That guy was probably thinking, like, oh, I'm about to get, like, four jerseys. Sweet. Nah, you got nothing. I'm sure they ended up giving him something.
You lose.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, have you seen the movie Semi-Pro?
Oh, with the tropics?
Yeah, when the guy hits the half-court shot for, like, a shit ton of money. He's like, we don't fucking have the money. We don't. He gives him a check. He goes, it doesn't work. He goes, oh, no, yeah, I go to the big check bank where they accept big checks.
I think that was one of the comments underneath that post was, never have we seen a promotion backfire this hard since that movie, Semi-Pro. But, oh, my goodness, that was
– I'm sure they compensated and got him a jersey anyways.
It could have been. I don't know. I think it was just for all fans in general. Like everybody could jump into the raffle and then they would pull a ticket for each goal. So just one lucky fan a bunch of lucky fans would have walked away with a bunch of jerseys if they had scored like three or four, but they didn't. And that backfired on them badly. And speaking of fired, another instance in the Northern Division, Claude Julien was fired from coaching Montreal. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Come on, Mark, get on in it. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. We're nuts. Anyways, sorry, Claude. No, please.
Sorry.
Sorry, Claude. You're gone. they replaced him with an English-speaking coach, which is kind of a first for the Montreal Canadiens. As my poor French accent, I can do it a lot better when we're talking about France and not Montreal. But we'll see what happens there. I thought the Montreal Canadiens were off to a rough start, especially what was going on last year, but they're still kind of middle of the pack. It's going to be a tough division. I mean, you're playing a bunch of teams over and over again, and they're all Canadian in this situation. So there's going to be a huge push for a playoff spot and an opportunity to win the cup, which Canada hasn't had in however many years. So they just wanted to get a little bit more competitive, and they thought the coach was the solution, get him out the door. Go ahead.
I said, you know my thoughts on bringing in new coaches and staff. If it works, it works. It doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, you've seen it before. Coaches come in, like, they're not going to do anything. There's not, and then the next, you know, within 3 years, they win a fucking cup. And then, you know, then you see experienced coaches come in, people who should be good, Stan Bowman, and they just absolutely shit the bed, you know. So,
yeah. It's
an interesting move, though. I gave it to him. I like it.
Where I was going to segue to next was Kasperi Kapanen. I know not Montreal, but he is now on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he had an absolute rocket. It was an overtime game-winning goal. It was a one-timer. I'm not sure if you guys saw this. We won't stick on it too long. There's a lot of them in the NHL, a lot of one-timers. But this one was beautiful, and I just wanted to highlight that. The Leafs are off and running. They have a stronghold on this division. But Connor McDavid's not going quietly into that silent night. He had a backdoor power play goal. This is about a week ago now. So he's getting the job done as well. And they're actually playing each other tonight. The first meeting didn't go so well between the two teams for Edmonton. Despite the Toronto Maple Leafs not having Austin Matthews, they still smacked the Oilers. I believe it was 3-0 final score. So a shutout on top of it. Not looking too good for Connor McDavid. I know we did predictions at the start of the season. Now that we're kind of a little further than a third of the way through the season, let's hear what you guys have thoughts on for the North Division. Mark the Truth, we'll start with you since you never even got to make your predictions. Who do you see running away in this division?
Jesus. What? My phone was doing things. I don't know. It started playing stuff. I don't know. Who do I see running away with this division? Video? No, it was the Panthers game.
Super fan.
Who do I see running away with this division?
Yeah.
Edmonton.
I think Edmonton will make the bounce.
I think the Maple Leafs are going to hit a slump. Edmonton's going to take advantage of it. They're going to win a few games. I think the division's going to end up being super close, but I think it's going to be Edmonton that takes this top spot by like 4 to 6 points.
Sounds good. Mark, do you agree or disagree?
Edmonton? I originally had Montreal. I like Montreal. No, I had them over like 60-something points. I don't know. The goaltending is so fucking bad in the North Division.
Yeah, you can say that.
I like Toronto pulling it off at the end, you know, maybe by like 4 points, maybe. Or I like Montreal coming in, but if they're playing good, they win, but they're kind of scratchy. So give me Toronto to take it.
Yeah. So no changes for you as of the division standings right now. I think you're both in the market of good cases for who you expect to win this division. I think both top dogs of this division have shown inconsistencies, especially them both getting bounced from their own arenas in the play-in rounds of last year's bubble playoffs. It's going to just come down to who can stay consistent for the longest, because we know both of these teams have steep, steep fall-offs. You have Toronto having a 5-1 lead against a team like Ottawa, and then blowing that and losing 6-5. But then again, you have Edmonton who, you know, Connor McDavid's being held off the score sheets. They can't win games. And look at what happened with them, the Blackhawks last year. I as much of a Hawks fan as I am, I don't think they were the better team. But then again, Oilers struggle to find that depth. You might have the best two arguably two players in the league, but that won't get you very far if you don't have goaltending or defense. So, a lot to see from this Canadian division. And I wish more of the Canadian games were televised in the States here. We get to watch some of those players more. A player that did move down from the Canadian division and we do get to see a lot more of, especially because he is now in the Central, is Patrick Laine. And this man has just been going off basically from Ovechkin's office. They might have to rename it soon. Ovechkin's still the greatest scorer of all time, but Laine seems to be commanding that space these days. He actually had a couple one-timers from the dot. One was namely against the Blackhawks. Go to our Laine expert, Mark Krasminski. What do you think has changed in Laine's game after going to Columbus?
I think a new coach. Remember we talked about is coach Titty Man. Is he the right?
John Tortorella, yes.
Sorry, John Tortellini. Is he going to be his coach style? Because it didn't work for Du Bois. So is he going to look for Laine, for Clubber Laine here? Who knows? But it looks like it is. I mean, he's finding his spot. And I feel like this team, Columbus, really, they move the puck. They move the puck well. I'll give it to them. And I feel like they just get that opportunity a lot. And Laine is just always there because he's in that lane.
Maybe that is his real
name
then.
That's a free one. That's a free one for the boys. But the boys, that's two. But I just think he's getting more opportunities with this Columbus team. I think John Tortellini, Titty Man, whatever you want to call him, is coaching him now. I think it's going to take a while. It took a while to really set up, but.
Mark, the truth, do you think John Tortoise Hello is the actual answer to why Laine is doing better, or do you think it's a change in Laine's play?
I think it's both. I mean, I think it's definitely because we all said it depends on whether a player wants to be coached by a coach like that. And I think Laine realized, like, if I want to, like, maintain being considered a top talent, I have to take the coaching. And I think he's starting to take the coaching. Because looking at his numbers, like, he only played one game this year on Winnipeg. He had two goals. He's played 13 games, and he has had six. Oh, he's being interrupted.
Is your mom going to make another cameo?
So I think it comes down to him being the coach that Laine needed and Laine being willing to listen to his coach and take what he's telling him.
That's true. A lot of people thought it would go the exact opposite way, having Tortorella as the coach there and how hard he is on players, but he seemed to have done a good job. I actually, for a second there, Mark, I thought your audio went out, Krasminski. I didn't realize that you're really just mouthing stuff, but I was like, what is going on? Moving along in the Central Division, though, we had somebody come out of nowhere. I don't know if you guys were able to see this.
I was doing the math, and going back to his rookie season, he was averaging two goals a game, like roughly. As of right now, he's also averaging two goals a game.
So he's back for now.
Yeah.
We'll see how long it lasts. It obviously, yeah. Shortened season. Fuck. Yeah, that's
like roughly.
That's kind of unreal. Right. Yeah. But I mean, to be there, I mean, they talk about how good a guy is when he's averaging a point per game, like two goals per game averaging. That's, I mean, snipe show right there.
Granted, he's only played 13 games as of right now.
Right. So it's a small sample size, yeah. But you hope to see, at least for Columbus's sake, them continue that, especially because they need to get into that one of those playoff spots right around now. It's been kind of rough going for them. A team that does have one of those playoff spots and somebody who is sniping as well, Tampa Bay, the Lightning, they just got a new rookie. Like I said, came out of nowhere. I don't know if you guys were able to catch this. Ross Colton, they call him Bolton Colton, which very fitting. He's playing for the Bolts. first shift of his first game, Hedman's already feeding him for his first goal. I couldn't believe it. I mean, now I know there's been a lot of players that, like Jonathan Toews, first goal in the NHL was on his first shot on his first shift. I believe it was the same situation with not Crosby. He did get a point, I believe, in his first game. But I mean, I had never heard of this guy. He kind of came out of nowhere. He's not some kind of generational talent like Jonathan Toews that you hear about coming up through the minors. Were you guys astounded? Mark Krasinski, we'll go to you.
You know, it's weird. You hear about this a lot, hockey and the rookies. I don't know why. Not a lot, but you always hear it. First shift, first time you ever touched the puck, it went in. You're like, is this like a free goal or something? Like, what's happening? You know, it was like I said, he put in the back of the net. He did what he had to do, but it was, you know, good kid, I guess. But I don't want to say I hear it a lot, but you remember every time you hear it, you're like, okay, so now it's like, okay, he scored a goal, his first shift, first time he touched the puck. You know, so I don't know about this one.
I know, Mark, the truth, you're a Panthers fan, but what does this mean for the Lightning going forward, do you think?
I mean, it's too early to tell. I mean, a lot of times rookies come in and have a fast start and kind of just fizzle off. I mean, like when Matthews came in the league and had his first game, the unreal, but he maintained it. We'll see if this kid maintains it. I don't know if he will. I mean, I would think he would simply just because of how that team is. But I don't know. I mean, I'd come back to it like 10 games from now and see what he's doing.
Absolutely. And plus, you're playing with that core in Tampa Bay, obviously defending champs, and that strong core has been there for a while. So not to take anything away from the young star, but, you know, some of the success could just be him being on a line with those guys. Another young star, another two young stars, happen to play for the Blackhawks. We're in the same division. One of them is Kevin Lankinen. Krasinski has his doubts, but I feel like Mark Levesque was really shitting on Lankinen, was saying he's not our guy. He's not there yet. Have you seen this man play? He has been out of his mind. I am certain the Blackhawks have their future goaltender here. Now, he might not be, you know, arguably Vezina Trophy caliber just yet. I mean, you got to give him time. He's still in the league. But for him to be doing the things that he's doing right now, Blackhawks went into a shootout with the Blue Jackets the other night. He stopped everything. He stopped everything. Mark, I want you to hear that one more time. He stopped everything. I don't know if you heard me, Truthy. This is the truth. He stopped everything. And the other young star, as I mentioned, Alex DeBrincat, went down and scored a beautiful goal. Now, Kane had a little bit of a mishap, but we're going to get into Kane in a little bit. That was just an overall – first of all, it was a gong show. It was a 6-5 final. No defense. And I will say, during the game, it did look like there was a breakdown of Lankinen. However, there was a penalty shot in the third period that he stopped, and then he proceeded to stop all three shooters from the Columbus Blue Jackets in that shootout. So I'm going to make you eat your words, buddy. He's our guy. We're riding him to the end. We're going to the moon with him. Yes, sir, you in the back.
So you say he stopped everything. He didn't stop the five goals.
That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about everything in the shootout. Now,
the three the five shots. Goals.
Yeah, all three. They're breakaway opportunities. Hey, it's a shootout.
Maybe he's the Hawks goalie in a shootout. Maybe, but so far laying up five goals in a game.
Plot twist. This is what has to happen. He stops people on penalty shots and shootouts, right? Mm-hmm. The Hawks have a shit defense. Well, they're actually a little bit better this year. Get rid of the defense entirely. Put five forwards out there. Don't let them back check. Have them always stay in the offensive zone. Maybe come back once in a while just to retrieve the puck. Let the other team get about 40 breakaways a night. He'll stop all 40 of them.
Yeah.
And then you're just up in their offensive zone all night with your five forwards and you're scoring goals. Recipe for success right there.
Sign me up. I'll watch it.
No, it's not.
It's great. It's wonderful. Something else that is great and wonderful, I thought anyways, this is my own personal opinion. I know many people were underwhelmed with them. The Blackhawks last night released their retro reverse jerseys. I know a lot of people were hoping for a lot more black in the jerseys, going back to the 2009 Winter Classic jerseys, going back to that 2009-2010 season when they had black alternates at home. I loved these jerseys. I don't know about you guys. We've now seen another retro Reavers jersey. I liked it even before seeing the whole kit. Some of these retro Reavers jerseys we've talked about with Edmonton, you see the jersey itself, and it's not until you see it with the pants and the socks, the whole kit, that you really decide whether or not it's actually good. I mean, the pants and the socks for the Blackhawks, nothing unexpected, nothing that I think changed the overall jersey that much. But regardless of that, I still loved them. I know, Mark Levesque, you didn't like them too much. We'll go to you. What were your thoughts?
I don't like them. Get rid of them.
What are some reasons you didn't like them? Candy canes. Oh, yes, the Winter Classic ones.
I don't know. To me, they just look like forced. They look like something like if you got bored in NHL, like you just threw together. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw red here. I'm going to leave that black. I'm going to throw red there. Give some black socks, red stripes, white stripes. Yeah, that's good enough. Or it's like when you color your mascot in NHL. You just put the team colors on there and see what happens. I was not a fan. I like the logo, just the color choice on the jersey I don't like.
I'll give you that it was very basic in some ways. And as you kind of said, thrown together. There was no shoulder patch design as there are on some other ones, although I thought that that actually was a good thing. I think it would be too busy if you had a shoulder patch design. I liked it being clean and empty. I liked the red shoulders that feed into the black. A little bit of contrast there. You have to have a little bit of red in there. Otherwise, you're basically throwing up the Winter Classic jerseys from last year, the black and white ones, which I still think kind of are better. I really love those. I didn't at first, I have to say. When they first came out with the 2019 ones, I thought there needed to be some red in there. Just the black and white to me was not all that great. But then when you see them on them, I loved them. I think these jerseys this year were exactly what old me kind of wanted last year, was for a black jersey to have a little bit of that red in there. I won't say they hit a home run with it, but I do think that these are a hit. I do like them, and it just makes it better what they did in them, namely one player. But we'll get into that in just a second. Let's hear Mark Krasinski's thoughts on these first.
I didn't mind them. There are nothing, you know, to talk about. You know, nothing right to mom about back home. I feel they could have been better, or they could, you know, done some better jerseys, retros. Yes, I do. Like I said, it's, I think this league right now, the retros are either a fucking fire or come on, man. And this one's a come on, man. So the Hawks can do better. And they have done better. And so that's why this one's a little, I don't say hurtful, but this one's a little lackadaisical. Nah.
But I what I think I love them most for is they do have the old retro logo in them.
That's the best part.
The 2019 jerseys had a different retro logo. And it actually wasn't all that retro because they kept the regular Hawk head. They just didn't put any color into it. It was just all black and kind of outlined. I love the retro logo. I think the black really highlights the black that was, I'm looking over here because I have the flag on my wall, as you guys know, in my basement, of the retro logo. The flag itself is red. Then you have the white circle, the red circle, the two thin lines. then a big black circle in which the words Blackhawks Chicago are in it. And then, of course, the white circle that has the actual old Indian head in there. I think throwing that on a jersey, if they had done it exactly how this flag is done, with the red being the main color of the jersey, I don't think they would have looked good. I think it would have looked just like your regular home jerseys with just replacing the logo, which is why I think they chose to go with the black, and I love it. I would buy one of these. I kind of wanted to get a Taves or a Doc because I do want to get another USA Kane just so I could play in it. The other USA Kane jersey that I have got signed by Kane, not a big deal. But I don't know if Doc or Taves are even going to get to play in one of these. You know, both of them are out. We don't know when they're returning. I kind of want to get one in a Kane because I think they look sexy. And the thing that Kane did last night was super sexy. Kane scored his 400th goal, made me a very rich man, and passed a milestone. And it's just phenomenal. Were you both able to watch the game and see that 400th goal and just talk about that toe drag and beating him near side? What was your guys' favorite part of watching that?
Well, I think we talked about this Patrick Kane scoring goals the last podcast, and I was talking to a buddy at work. It's just with the amount, the level he's playing right now, and the amount of minutes he's on the ice, and him be doing this year after year, you knew it was coming. It's like Ovechkin scoring, or you know, Crosby getting his points. It's gonna happen because he's on a fucking tear. When he scores a goal any other way, like a normal goal, it's like that's more surprising than when he does something unreal, like a 400-1 or spinorama backhand. Right? He does it more often. It's just scoring a normal goal, you know, a normal slap shot, normal wrist shot in the slot. He always adds something to it because he has to, and he does. That's why he's one of the best in the league. He's the most exciting to watch. So, it's in Kane fashion. His 400th was that goal, right? So
yeah, I was going to say something, and I don't remember. We'll go over. I don't want to cut you off, Levesque. We'll go to you.
I mean, I know you should look at things positively. I look at it as I unfortunately don't think we're going to see him get 500 in a Blackhawks uniform.
It's a hot take.
Like, think about this way. He's probably got like 3 more years. How long is his contract? How many years more years he's got?
Till 2024, I believe. 2024.
Yeah, he'll probably get to like 470, finish out his career somewhere else and get it there. Which I'm still going to be happy for him when he does.
Oh, just, absolutely.
It's one of those things, like, I don't think we'll see him get his 5 with us.
That, yeah, I can see that happening. I know there's a lot of speculation on it, whether or not he leaves. I think because he's kind of the face of the franchise here, I lean towards him staying. And that's not just the fan in me saying that. I think, you know, for the money, he's won 3 cups. I bet he does want a 4th, though. I'm not sure where that would be. Buffalo is his hometown, and I know that's obviously the elephant in the room is that he would – or the Buffalo in the room is that he would go to Buffalo and play for the Sabres. However, they just – they have all this talent there, and they never seem to get things together, and I don't think if you throw Kane in that lineup, it gets much better. I think – Kane is a phenomenal player. He's a generational talent. I think he'd do the same things there that he does in a Blackhawks sweater. But would it make the team a playoff team? I don't think so. I mean, look at where Buffalo sits. They always have a hot start. They cool off, and they sit at the bottom of the league for the whole rest of the year. Now, if he goes somewhere else, I don't know. The jury's out. I couldn't tell you whether or not he would win another cup. I lean towards him staying in Chicago for the fact that he's the face of the franchise and he's made his career here. Plus he's in the US and he's a US born player. So if you can't be in your hometown, at least be in your home country. I don't think he'd go to a Canadian team, but we don't know what the future holds. What I was going to say though, and I remember it now, is Kane did not score Saturday night against Detroit, which was a little bit surprising, but I'm glad the 400th came in that beautiful uniform. And I believe his 1,000th point came in the retro, or not the retro jersey, the Winter Classic jerseys last season. Yeah, when he scored his 1,000th point. The game before that, he was not on the score sheet. He didn't get a point, if I remember correctly. Or he got like just one shy of his 1,000th point in that game before that. And it's almost like he's planning these things to make him look extra pretty. No, wait, I take it back. I believe he was in red when he scored his 1,000th point, but the ceremony to celebrate his 1,000th point was when they were playing Florida. Quinville was in town. It was the first time he was coming back to town since leaving. And Kane was then wearing the Winter Classic jersey, so he got honored in those black jerseys. So it almost seems like he's planning these things to fall right in line with, you know, whatever jersey promotion that they're doing. But it was just beautiful. The toe drag, the execution last night to get around that defenseman, avoid the stick, and put that on net. Detroit had been shutting him down all, if you want to call it a series of two games, how they play him this year. And it was a kind of an instance where, you know, you lose to Detroit the night before because I think they were trying to feed Kane too much. My argument was just play your regular style game. Look at a regular Blackhawks game. Patrick Kane usually factors into the point sheet. And it's not because you're trying to feed him all night. It's just he's in the right spots. He's a playmaker. He knows what to do with the puck. He's going to find his opportunities. He's going to get his chances. And I felt like they were trying to force it to Kane too much on that Saturday night. And Detroit knew exactly what was going to happen. And they had extra coverage on him. I won't say double coverage. I don't really think you could do that in the NHL without leaving another guy open. And that's not what they did. They shut the Hawks down. They beat him 5-2, and it was a stomping. And it looked bad, especially because the Hawks, in every other category of that Saturday night game, were the better team. They had more faceoffs won, I believe. They had more shots on goal. And they had more zone time. They had better puck possession and just got outworked on the back end, I think. And that's how you lose 5-2. And they started to do that all Sunday night's game until that third period, and the floodgates just opened. We ended up winning 7-2. Kane ended up did secure that 400th goal. And I think that's when they decided, all right, you know what? Let's just go out here. We have to beat this Detroit team. It'll look so awful if we don't. But regardless, Hawks take 2 points from Detroit. But the biggest point is that Kane got his 400th goal.
I was covered paints, green pair, red shoes, orange fifth, pink flower. Things to do, go, things that go. Dump truck, like Mark's fat ass dump truck.
We're done reading today.
Mark, turn around. Let people see that dump truck.
They're not worthy.
Give us a little something. Johnny Ringo.
They're not worthy.
I can't, you guys. Like, I just can't.
Johnny Ringo.
Looks like that was our latest segment, folks, where Mark Levesque teaches Mark Krasinski how to read. Mark Krasinski is actually going back to school, starting at kindergarten. His ABCs, his colors.
I can't wait till we play dodgeball, or I get my first love.
What?
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 How do those correlate? When we played dodgeball, my goal was to kill people.
My goal is to kill that ass.
You picked dodgeball? That was the sport you picked in order to segue into I'm going to kill that ass?
Yeah.
Mark has left the room. He no longer wants to see media.
I can still smell him. I can feel him.
Oh, you can smell him through the Zoom. That's a little creepy.
I can smell that Grundle nectar.
Boys, we're running a little long here for this episode, and we will have an episode later on in the week. We were a week behind, so we'll be catching up. On that episode, we will be having a special guest on. He's not a hockey player, so this will be one of our last interviews before we get into all the SHL players leading up to the summer. but I promise it is going to be an awesome interview. We have Brandon Orozco joining us. He's a guy I went to high school with. He has his own podcast. Probably. I don't know. You'll have to ask him in a couple of days when we interview him. I'm not going to give away everything. I will just say he has his own podcast. He's going to come out and talk about that. Very interesting guy. He's done a lot in his life, and we're going to get to interview him and talk to him about it. He's going to be a fun guest. We're going to save some more of the NHL talk for after we interview him there. We're going to get right into Mark the Truth. Whatever he's doing over there is not the Slam Vintage ad, but hopefully he could transition that right on over into it.
Buy my clothes. No, I'm going to do another promo. Discount promo, I mean. No one ever commented what two hats that Chris Miskin wore. You know, that's on you guys. You missed out on the opportunity to get stuff for a discount. But starting tonight at – what time is it? Starting tonight at 9 through Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time, everything will be
– 99% off.
25% off or 30% off. So if you go to the Depop page, you know, message me there. Let me know you came from the podcast, and I'll change it to free shipping as well. So
awesome. Very cool.
And some new stuff will get, will be posted during that time span too, as well.
I sell my NBA championship hat.
Do you want to?
Not at all. Hold on. Let me get it.
I don't want to see it. It angers
me. We were going to jump into the gambling corner, but now Mark has to, oh, he's back. Never mind. We'll after he shows you his hat, we'll move right into that.
1990.
Still got the tags on it, like he's a first overall draft pick or something like that.
I look like those kids at the mall.
You're not wrong. And just like the mall, I've been winning them all in gambling, thanks to some of Mark Krasinski's picks. Mark, you got some picks for us, starting with Wednesday night's games?
Okay.
Wait, before you transition into that.
What be that? Oh, look at those prices.
Is that with the tag? Is that with the tag still on them?
Nope.
It's a little dirty.
Tag still on, 139, 124. Obviously, these are just what they're like listed as. After that documentary, like, all bull stuff went crazy in price.
The original 1990 all tags. Can I see what I bought it for? Or my dad bought it for?
Probably $19.99.
Probably $3.99.
Okay. All right, Mark, what you got for us for starting with Wednesday night?
All right. Here we go.
As far
Wednesday nights. So. First game is Washington and Boston. This will be a good game.
It's going to be a good game. This one's going to be a hard one. I think it's in Boston. Yeah, it's in Boston. Take Boston here. It's going to be a good one, though. I would take the Boston. I would take the over. Boston's a good defense, but that offense is just that Washington offense is good. But take Boston. I don't know. It's a hard one. I think just keep Boston. Toronto, Edmonton. Mark, what do you have for this one? You're an Edmonton guy, aren't you? Do you like Edmonton?
I like Edmonton.
Yeah.
I took Edmonton.
I like Edmonton, but for some reason, I think Toronto's going to win. St. Louis, Anaheim. You know how I feel about Anaheim, so take St. Louis. Minnesota, Vegas. Vegas is just good, I guess. So taking Vegas. Arizona, the Kings. The Kings have really let me down. Well, by winning when I want them to lose. So take the Kings winning against the Yotes. And then Colorado, San Jose. San Jose, I forgot they even had a hockey team. So take Colorado. And then I'll get you to the weekend here. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Take the over in Pittsburgh winning. Detroit, Carolina. Take Carolina, good team. Winnipeg, Montreal. Give me Montreal for this one. It'd be a good game. Rangers, Devils. Rangers been playing good hockey. Buffalo's Islanders. Give me the Islanders. Tampa Bay, Chicago. See, this can go either way. The Hawks are playing pretty good hockey, but give me Tampa Bay here. They're going to need a win here. So, Florida, Nashville. Last time these teams played, I forgot. Give me it's in Nashville. Give me Nashville. Columbus, Dallas. Give me Dallas. Columbus is Ottawa, Calgary. Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver. Take the over, but give me Toronto. And then Friday to get you to the weekend here. Washington, Boston again. Give me Washington for this one. Tampa Bay, Chicago. Give me Tampa Bay again. I think the Hawks are going to go 0-2. They're going to cool off here a little bit. Colorado, Anaheim. You know how I feel about Anaheim.
Don't touch it.
Minnesota, Arizona. Take Minnesota here. Should be a good game, but who fucking cares about these two teams, really? St. Louis, L.A., St. Louis. People haven't been talking about St. Louis enough. Vegas, San Jose. If you need my advice on this one, fuck you. Give me Vegas. And then those are your picks for the next to the weekend.
Why over on Vancouver and who was it?
Toronto?
Yeah.
Because they seem suck. Vancouver is one of the worst defenses. They let up almost 4 goals a game. Toronto scores out of their fucking mind. I'm saying final score is like 6-3.
Okay, so you're not saying it's a back and forth. You're saying it's a fucking ass
whooping. Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying it's going to be – watch the score be like 3-0 in the after. Actually, it'll be close. It might be a back and forth, but like 6-3, 6-4, 7-2. 5-1, 5-2, 5-3, 8-0, 10-3, 7-6, 6-5, 4-6. I try to say every combination there, so I really don't know. That's if I know. I think it's gonna be like 5-2, 5-3. It's gonna be 7-8 goals in this game.
Very good. Well, the worst thing possible is happening. My bets for tonight, just to jump in since we're on the topic. Somehow the Ottawa Senators are beating the Calgary Flames. And that hurts. It really does.
All right. I took Tim Stützle to have over point or over half of a point. It's 2.
Oh, nice, nice. Good pick there. But Ottawa is in pretty much all my parlays, so they're all screwed. I took Calgary on all of them, and that's messed up. Also, I took the Jets. They're losing 3-0 in period 2, so some of my parlays that have that are screwed. I also have the Panthers, and they're losing 1-0, though, so not freaking out too much there. So it's not a very good night for me tonight, boys. Came off a good night last night. I do have McDavid to get a point, and Kirill Kaprizov to get a point, and both of them to get a goal in a parlay, that should win me $7.80. So I'll make back what I lost, but would have been nice to hit this one, which was $2 to win $185. But thanks, Calgary. You're doing wonders for me. Oh, and also I should mention, thanks, Winnipeg. The last time I bet on
I can't spell Calgary or Winnipeg, so
that's true.
WIGK baby blah 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 blah. Right? That's right.
That's what it sounds like after someone gets stabbed.
Yeah. Well, now it is time for everybody's favorite segment because it's the one I can't pronounce, but I'm gonna pronounce it correctly tonight. Time for Pond of the Pod.
There you go.
And tonight we have a very special one. We have as you can see, Pilot Man Craig on Instagram. Shout out, go follow him. I think his actual name is like Craig Johnson. I actually had a teacher in high school named Craig Johnson. He was an engineering teacher. I actually spoke with this man, as you can see. I, I got some info from him because I do lines in my rink, and he actually puts his rope lights underneath the tarp even. Now, I put mine in the ice. I waterproof them. I mean, rope lights are already pretty much waterproof. You just have to make sure that the ends are super solid and no water's getting in there. But he said he puts them even under the tarp, and look at the lighting he gets. I mean, this red one's not as bright as my red ones, but his blue ones are definitely twice as bright as my blue ones, and my blue ones are above the ice or above the tarp. So he said he runs them underneath, and it works out really well. Over here, we got some video of him skating on it. He said he's just up the road in Milwaukee, up in looks like he's wearing some Red Wing stuff there. So we're going to have to question him on that. But he gave me a lot of tips, especially on how to get the lines a little bit straighter. I know people have criticized me for not having my lines super straight, but you know what I say to those people is build your own, and you probably can't. So, you know, don't come at me. I'll make you mad. This guy is shooting at a net that's backwards, but good job.
Dude, people do that when there's no goalie. It's smart.
I know. Well, you know what I do is I have two nets, and one's a little bit smaller than the other. I put the smaller one facing, you know, backwards, so that I can only go in the top corners, practice my sniping. But this is how his rink originally started. Looks kind of small. Oh, it's going. Look at that. I believe those are still wood boards. It looks like he's just painted them. Looks like it's twice the size. It's beautiful. I invited him out to mine next year. I don't really know the guy, but seems like a decent dude if he's building a rink like this. And I don't know if that means I get the invite out there next year, but... we'll shout him out. This is all courtesy of Nice Rink. Nice Rink liners are great. I personally don't buy from them. I get from Blue Lake Plastics, LLC. And he was also featured on ODR Heaven. And that is an account I follow. I love those accounts. But that is Pond of the Pod for this week. Next order of business is... another word from one of our sponsors. Talking Pylons is brought to you by Rosie O'Reilly's Irish Pub and Grub, located at O North 131 North Gary Avenue in Wheaton, Illinois. Rosie's is your game day destination for all Chicago sports teams. These guys went to the School of Greatness, so you know the atmosphere is killer. And best of all, they're an Irish pub, so you know they have the liquor game on lock. And if you gander that I'd be a wee bit racist, just know that I'm a quarter Irish, so you can kiss me arse. If you happen to catch the Jofa Dusters there, drinks are on me. Wouldn't make a dent in my bank account. Rosie O'Reilly's just installed new gambling machines, so bring your mask and have some fun in a safe, friendly environment. This is not that pigeon hockey player, Ryan O'Reilly. Who the hell is that guy even? Mark said the Blues don't give enough credit, but I don't even know who this guy is. Who? Rosie O'Reilly's is located just south of the Cosley Zoo and Geneva Road at Oak North 131 North Gary Avenue in Wheaton, Illinois. I said that already, so if you didn't hear that the first time, you're a pigeon. Rosie O'Reilly's. Sleeveless shirts are a no-no. Shoes are a must. Try to keep a civil tongue. Please refrain from lust. Enjoy responsibly. Well, boys, that about wraps up our episode for tonight. A little bit shorter one. We didn't have an interview. We will have one next week, as I said, Brandon Orozco. We will get to the rest of the league, mainly the East and the West, in next podcast, which will be coming out shortly. And I'm excited for that one. Boys, do you have any more things you want to say other than flipping off all of our fans?
You want.
If you're one of those people that wanted to bet on Lankinen or Suter to win Rookie of the Year, they are now on FanDuel as a player futures under Rookie of the Year.
I don't want to rain on your parade, buddy, but that was a couple weeks ago, and I put money on both of them. I also put money on Kurashev. I'm going to be honest with you, though, with how good Kirill Kaprizov's been, I don't think – any of those three guys are going to get it. I mean, Kirill Kaprizov, the Wild.
Also, you remember when the draft happened, everyone thought Lafreniere was going to be the top player?
Hey, he sucks.
And he's looking trash.
Can't even pronounce his last name. He's shit.
Have you noticed that, like, every, like, number one pick is either the absolute greatest or an absolute fucking trash. Scrub.
Yeah.
It doesn't
have like five players that
Nail Yakupov. Nail Yakupov. What a guy. Yeah, no, Taylor Hall. I'd say he's a human suitcase. Just shopping around everywhere he wants to go. Not really staying anywhere. He's got talent, I'll give him that, but it's like not
I think he might be the one exception. I mean, he's a good player, but he's just not on the right team.
Are you shaking your leg over there, bud?
Oh, no, I'm beating my meat.
I was a little concerned. Yeah. No, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But Kaprizov, kid came out of nowhere and looks to be the next phenom. When was the last time you could say somebody on the Minnesota Wild was exciting to watch?
Zach Parise.
Kind of.
Owen Nolan.
Cam Barker. No.
Nolan Ryan.
Marian Gaborik.
Jabon Lane.
Nolan Ryan. Yeah, no. So this Kaprizov kid, he's making Wild hockey exciting again. I think he's going to run away with it, which is why he's the favorite right now. So I can't put any money on him because I'll only like kind of lose money. But
he was for a while only like he was like plus two something for a while.
Yeah, I really wish he was still there. I would have put money on him.
No,
because you could see right off the bat he was doing good. He was making about as many headlines as Lankinen and Suter at the beginning, and I noticed it, and I should have jumped on that. And now he's just kind of running away with it. But there is still hope for Lankinen because he's a goaltender. I think there is still some hope for Pew Suter if he gets things back on track. He was kind of scoreless until last night's game. I threw money on Kuryshev, but I don't think it's going to happen. He was just
Don't forget about Stytzel.
That's true. You know, I think he'll get overlooked, though, because of the position that Ottawa was in. But he shouldn't. I think he's going to overall have success. But, I mean, the Minnesota Wild are in a playoff spot. I don't think anybody saw them being in there with the powerhouses that are in the West, namely Vegas and Colorado. But we will get into the West next podcast. We can dive even deeper. We'll let Mark Krasminski go do a little five-knuckle shuffle. So, before we have to sit here and watch that, we don't want to be like that one guy on that Zoom call. Did you guys see that video a long time ago? Don't do that, kids.
No.
Especially not when it's a work meeting Zoom call.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, he's getting his unemployment check, so he's happy.
And his OnlyFans check.
Oh God! Don't even get me started. That's that stuff. Ugh. We could sit here. We have debated that for hours, and we will again. And
we haven't debated it. We discussed it because I think we all have the same view that now.
That's true. For that reason, I'm never having a daughter.
Reason 5,302,067, not have a daughter. She's not a man.
Facts. Well, that is another thing we have for next podcast as well, along with the East and the West breakdowns, is we'll talk about the first women's hockey game. And that'll all be after, like I said, the interview with Brandon Orozco. So, Mark, you look like you want to say one more thing.
Yeah, the point differential between Stytzel and the guy in Minnesota, I can't pronounce his last name.
Kaprizov.
Four.
Caprizi.
Caprese. That's very good odds, and Stutzel could run away with it. But all right, boys, I think that'll wrap things up here. I'll let you guys get back to whatever you're doing, Mark Krasminski. And we'll see you guys a little later in the week. See you, boys.